Hi, it's Glenn here from Freedom Vineyard. Thank you so much for downloading this teaching podcast. Just to let you know, this audio isn't as great as normal. It was taken from our backup system, so we had a couple of tech gremlins on the day. So apologies for that, but the teaching is clear, so please don't let that put you off. And we'll be back to normal next week. Thanks so much.
You're only kind of relatively new, lots of folks are new. And so what we've been doing is been going through Vineyard Values, because we are a Vineyard church. We're part of an international movement of churches called the Vineyard. And so we're just trying to help people find out a little bit more about who we are and how to tip. And so far we've done over many months, so if anybody can remember this, we deserve a medal, quite frankly. But we start off with come as you are. Everyone is welcome just as they are. You don't need to believe the things that I believe. You don't need to behave in any particular way apart from biblical morality and the law. If you're waving a machete, you might take exception to that. But apart from that, you're pretty relaxed. So you can come as you are. You can be honest. You can be open. You don't have to put on a show to try and be something you're not. Then our second value is everyone gets to play. We are a church full of ordinary believers. I'm an ordinary believer. I'm not a full-time paid pastor. I've got a full-time job, but we're all normal. We're all normal people with everyday lives, some like, you know, different colours and sort of looks of family. So everybody has the ability to move in the power of the Holy Spirit and do the stuff of the kingdom. I'll explain a little bit more about that today. And then last time, Amanda and Michael spoke on one of our highest values, which is worship. So making that accessible. Integrity, kingdom expectation, and passion. Today is kingdom theology, and good news, this isn't going to be a dry, dusty theology lecture.
Woo! Yay!
Yeah, we don't want that. But it is something profoundly practical and life-changing if we choose to embrace it. And the main lens that the Vineyard looks at the Bible through is one of the kingdom, and I'll explain what that means as we go. Kingdom of God. So I don't know if you saw it, but in the film Arrival, has anyone seen this film? We saw it a few years ago. Nobody's seen it. This is going to bomb. should have done that tricks. So Arrival is these things that look like coffee beans are actually giant space alien ships. And 12 of them appear across the Earth. And the US military recruits an elite linguist, Dr. Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, to communicate with the alien species, which are called hectopods. They're those. They look like hands, they're not really. But they communicate by doing these kind of cool swirls, and each swirl kind of means something. But something incredible happens as she learns the language. She doesn't just learn how to communicate with these beings, but they actually start giving her a glimpse into the future and a future state. So she not only kind of understands this new world, this new communication, she actually starts to perceive that this future reality is coming, and some of it's quite personal to her as well. So the aliens are not only communicating, they're communicating about the future as well. And there's lots of parallels with the Bible. So like in the beginning of John's eyewitness accounts of Jesus, there's four main eyewitness accounts of Jesus in the Bible. He's described in a kind of way that the Greeks of the time would really understand, called like the Logos, which is where we get our word logic from. And he's called, like, his nickname is the Word. Not in like the 80s word way, but as that the word of like a communication from God to show who God is like and what he's about and what his kingdom is about. Okay, so didn't bomb too bad, brought you back from that. So this morning as we look at scripture, let's hold on to that image of a future reality breaking into the now, because it's going to come up again and again. So this morning I'm going to look at what is the kingdom, what is it like, and why does it matter to me? And just a disclaimer, the first one's longer than the other two, so if you get to the end of the first one, I think my dinner or my barbecue is going to go off, then you're quite safe. So, firstly, what is the kingdom? Okay, so that guy there is a guy called John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard Movement. I don't think he intended to found the Vineyard Movement. He was just somebody who just attracted people who didn't know Jesus. And just God used him mightily just to raise up other believers to see people healed, see people restored, create communities of faith that would go and change their whole community. So that was John Wimber. And this kind of thing spread kind of internationally. So he got kind of internationally known. And he was influenced by a theologian called George Eldon Ladd, with a very nice moustache, who lived in the 1900s. And his writing on the kingdom of God has been transformational and influenced many church streams. And his first description of the kingdom of God, I mean, there's lots in this. Today I'm only going to really skate over the very, very top things because it's all we have time for. But his first description of the kingdom of God is the dynamic reign of God. The dynamic reign of God. So this means that wherever God's will is done. So our God has a will. He has a way that he wants us to behave, both with him and with each other, and with all of creation, to act with justice, to act with fairness, to act with love, and to act with compassion. And whenever that is done, then God is said to reign in that place. So that means that it's not a geographical area in George's thoughts, and it's not a human institution like the church. The church isn't the kingdom. The church kind of witnesses to the kingdom, but it isn't the kingdom itself. So when we think about this dynamic reign of God, reign is like a royal word. It has overtones of royalty and authority. And we find this idea of God's rule right at the beginning of the story of the Bible. And the Bible is a library of books, all with different genres, wrote in different times, but all tell a unified story that points us towards Jesus. That's what the Bible does. It's a library. So if you have a Bible, then please go to the very beginning of the story. And the first book of the Bible is called Genesis. And it'll be in the very first chapter of it. And the words are going to come up on the screens, don't worry. And we're going to look at verse 25. Sorry, 26 even. We're doing Genesis. Okay, so Genesis 1, start just reading verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And we see two very clear things in the original design of God in creation. So firstly, humans carry the image of God. So we're made in his image, in his likeness. And this is where we get dignity and value from, because we're created by God to reflect who he is. And there's no one greater in all of the universe than God himself. And we bear his likeness in a unique way that the rest of creation doesn't to the same extent. And the second idea is God delegates his authority. He calls us to not only represent him, but to rule lovingly over all creation and work within creation to beautify it. Now, when we hear rule, we live in a world where there's lots of authoritarian states, or maybe you've got a terrible boss. Or you've had an awful teacher at school way back, and it causes, like, ugh, we have a rash to the word rule. But God's idea of rule is serving and loving and giving yourself for the good of others. So that's God's picture of lovingly ruling over creation. So right at the beginning, we see a God who creates the universe and the earth, and he's delegating authority to humankind to represent him to all of creation, and to lovingly rule over it and to beautify God's creation project. And God is perfectly present with humankind. And we see this in Genesis 3. And God is described as walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the word for walking in the original language suggests something that's repetitive, like it was like a habit. So man has got a friend, I don't know quite what he does for work because he's always got a brand new car, but he just says, yeah, I get up and do a few hours of work, then I go out for a long walk, and then I kind of come back, have some lunch, do a little bit more, and then go out for another walk, and it's just like, quite fancy that job. But his practice is to walk at least twice a day. And so this is a picture of God actually regularly walking in the garden. And it's a picture of perfect intimacy and perfect relationship with the humans that he created. And it all goes terribly wrong. And the original humans reject God's authority and they want to live out of their own standards, a picture of what we do today. The intimacy is shattered by guilt and humankind hides from God. And the effects of evil enter the world and begin to spoil creation, bring sickness, injustice and death. So if that's the beginning of the story, it starts perfectly. God perfectly present and loving with his humans enjoying God's presence. We're made to rule over all of creation. Then it goes terribly wrong. And then let's look at the end of the library. So if you've got your Bibles, you can go to the very last book, which is called Revelation, which is a very interesting book. Put it on screen. So Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. This is John writing. Then I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. This is the Glenn Glow translation. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, that's God, says, I am renewing everything. So the end of the story is glorious. It tells us a future age on a renewed earth, so not floating up to heaven like the old 1980s Philadelphia adverts. We've got angels floating on clouds. So a new heaven and a new earth. And God, again, with his people perfectly. And no more sickness, no more pain, no more crying, for those old things have passed away. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. If you kind of carry sickness or if you have sadness, most of us in this room have lost someone close to us and, you know, we just carry that. Those sadnesses will be wiped away. And notice here how God is king, speaking from his throne. I heard a loud voice from the throne say. He again is perfectly present amongst his people, and we are free from this rebellion to his reign and in renewed resurrection bodies. So we have this strong theme of God's dynamic reign over all of creation, starting right at the beginning and then bookending right at the end of the Bible. But one look at the news today will tell you that we are far from Revelation 21. It's just a mess. We just see so many awful stories on the news. I used to be a news junkie, but now I'm just finding I can't watch it as much because it's just awful. So, we have a perfect start. It goes terribly wrong. And then by the end of the Old Testament, which is the first kind of two-thirds of this book, which details the story of God's people Israel, at the end, most of them in exile, it's gone, you know, really wrong. And it just looks like it's without hope. And then Jesus appears, and everything begins to change. And then this leads to George Ladd's second observation about the kingdom, namely that the authority and sovereignty of God is breaking into human history. So with Jesus, God's dynamic reign starts breaking in into human history. And so Jesus' main message, the thing he talked about most of all, was the kingdom of God. That was his main thing. And after his baptism and time in the wilderness, being tempted, he launches his work. And Mark describes it this way. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And then Jesus begins to work this out. So what does he start doing? He starts healing people. He starts setting people free. What he does is he both preaches the words of the kingdom and does the works of the kingdom, and people flock to him. People go, wow, they're just like, crowds come, because they've never seen anything like this. This is just compelling. This is amazing. Jesus is just setting people free, left, right, and centre. So we see these twin ideas of the dynamic rule and reign of God and inbreaking of the future into the now with Jesus, really, really clearly with Jesus. This future world where there won't be sickness, there won't be pain, Jesus starts showing what that actually looks like as he goes around Palestine preaching. And I'm really skating over the main ideas, as I said. There's so much we could dive into. I'm not even going to go near the cross and resurrection of Jesus, which is all about the kingdom and how we get the victory over the forces of evil. But this is all good stuff for future sermon series. So, God's active and dynamic rule and reign and his future state breaking into the now. That's kind of what the kingdom of God. They're two really important parts of the kingdom. So, that's what the kingdom, what is the kingdom? What's the kingdom like? Well, firstly, it's good news. Isn't that surprising? Now, God's doing amazing work amongst people in our culture, especially amongst young people, teenagers, young adults, and they're coming to know Jesus like never before because he's pitching up and showing himself to them. And we've even kind of chatted to people in the local area who are kind of early 20s, and they've got no connection to church, and Jesus has like literally pitched up in their room in a vision and said, you know, follow me. It's just incredible what the Lord is doing. Yeah. So that's really, really great. But we still have a way to go. If you ask most people who thought about kind of church and Christianity, some people have kind of a bit of a kind of, well, doesn't sound like good news. So some of them are kind. So the research shows that people think that Christians are kind of kind. They actually make a positive contribution. But kind of what they talk about is probably a little bit dull and not that good news. But we see with Jesus so much good news and people flock towards him. There are 35 to 40 separate miracles recorded in these eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. Bear in mind that they are carefully crafted into narratives to show us what God is like and to create a train of thought. So they're not designed to kind of catalogue everything that Jesus did. So Jesus comes and he starts doing these incredible things, and we see him setting people free from sometimes lifetime conditions, so like blindness, blind from birth, lame from birth, deaf from birth. You know, or people have been ostracised from society because they've, you know, they've had, you know, outpourings of blood, and that kind of separates them from the rest of the community. And Jesus sets people free from these long-term conditions. I remember being at a Christian conference over the summer called New Wine many years ago, and there was a pastor called Alan Scott there, and he would teach and minister like in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God would be with him in a pretty incredible way. And I remember one time he just kind of taught on this kind of topic, and then he just started sort of naming what God was doing in the room, and people were healed of many things. So like there were even attestations of people who had had broken legs and they'd had them pinned. God had actually restored their bones and removed the pin miraculously. He healed scars from like self-harm so that new skin grew back and the scars had totally gone. And like loads and loads of conditions. And what he would always do is he'd say, how long have you suffered from that? And he would ask the people, and quite a number of times in these meetings, you'd have more than 100 years worth of suffering collectively across a number of people healed by God's power. So it wasn't the guy, it was God healing. But that's what God's like. In addition to these accounts, there are times in the Gospels where Jesus is described as healing many. So all those that Jesus were brought to Jesus, he healed them. He stayed and healed them. So sometimes he healed whole crowds late into the night. And John would say that if everything that Jesus has done was written down, there wouldn't be enough books to hold it, which is a beautiful description. Everywhere that Jesus went, he brought freedom, forgiveness, healing, peace, and deliverance. And in the early days of the Vineyard movement, we were known for ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many churches in their communities got known as the place you go to. If you've got something and you can't get healed for it, then you go down to the Vineyard Church. Or if you're struggling and you need help, then you kind of go to the Vineyard Church. And obviously today we have many wonderful churches and many brothers and sisters who are doing amazing things. So I'm not just saying we're the only ones doing it. But these are all expressions of the kingdom. We're definitely seeing a resurgence in kingdom miracles. You know, just in our own church, we're hearing stories of just like people going out and just like offering to pray, and ordinary people, you know, not pro pastors or anything like that, just ordinary people with ordinary jobs, or you know, mothers and fathers, just going out and praying for people and God healing through them. We're just seeing a resurgence, and we're seeing that become normal. At last year's Vineyard Leaders Gathering in 2024, which is a national conference for Vineyard leaders, Dr. Chloe Swart shared her PhD research, looking into stories of miracles in Wales from 2015 to 2020. Now, she was doing like a PhD thesis on miracles, and like her supervisor, her PhD supervisor said, yeah, he was very sceptical, he didn't believe. And he said, well, look, in order to kind of write a paper, you're going to need at least 5 stories. She goes, all right, okay. And she worked for an organisation called Alpha International. So if you've ever seen like the Alpha question mark poster, she works with those guys. And so she worked for Wales. So what she did is she wrote to all the churches who had like registered and run an Alpha course, said, could you help me with my research? And she just wanted them to report stories, wanting to know who prayed, where they prayed, what condition they prayed for, and what the results were and the timing of it. So who prayed, where, what the condition was, and the timing of anything they saw. So she was aiming for 5 stories. And what she got back was over 600 personal healing testimonies, which is amazing. The key findings were that healings came through ordinary believers like you and I praying. It wasn't people with big ministries and big names, it was ordinary people doing these things. Interestingly, most were in non-church environments. In the gym, at work, at the supermarket, out in the street, just wherever people bump in and just like offer to pray there and there. We have a saying that if somebody sort of says something like, oh, I've got a terrible back or terrible this, or, you know, just say, can I pray for you right now? And the right now is the really important bit there. Can I pray for you right now? Just offer to pray. That's another day. So most were in a non-church environment. 60% were healing of non-life-threatening conditions, arthritis, tennis elbow, sciatica, and 40% were actually for life-threatening or debilitating conditions such as cancer or chronic illnesses. And all those people receiving healing and freedom, how wonderful. So, good news. We've got to get into the mindset that what we carry is great news. And if we share it, people go, yeah, this is great. I want to be set free. I want my relationships to be restored, and I want peace. I take it for granted that I get peace in the Lord. Before I knew Jesus, I used to worry like crazy. It took me many, many, many years to kind of come out of that. And I'm not immune from worry today, but I'm so much more free than I used to be, and that's all because of God. So the kingdom is actually really good news. What is it? And then the second thing is that the kingdom is also mysterious. So Jesus sometimes emphasised the kingdom had already come, or it was like near. So Matthew 12:28, one of the eyewitness accounts, Jesus is defending the miracles he performs, and he says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus does his miracles, and he says, actually, it's a sign that the kingdom of God has come right now. So it's future age, where there's no suffering, there's no illness, it's broken into the now. Other times, Jesus says the kingdom of God is drawing near. So Luke 10:11 and Matthew 4:17 say this. So, and other times, Jesus talks about a delay in the kingdom of God coming. The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 is a good example of this. Or the parable of the 10 miners in Luke 19, where he says he proceeded to tell a parable because they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And his model prayer that starts, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, he calls his believers to pray, your kingdom come. So there's no point in praying for your kingdom to come if it's already here. So there's still this kind of future anticipation of the kingdom coming. And so we call this the now and the not yet. So has the kingdom come? Well, yeah. Is the kingdom going to come? Yeah. And which one is it? Well, it's kind of both. So we know that the kingdom has come enough now that we can offer to pray for people, but we know that the kingdom hasn't fully come because you just flick on the news and think, how could this be when God's rule and reign is everywhere? How could this be happening? So we know that the rule and reign of Jesus hasn't fully come yet. And so Vineyard believes, like the now and the not yet, Jesus has inaugurated or has launched the kingdom, but it won't be fulfilled, it won't fully come to pass until he returns in the future to bring in that future age that we saw in Revelation 21. So it should be fairly obvious the kingdom of God hasn't fully come when we look around us. It doesn't stop us being expectant for God to do great things. Okay? So it's good news, there's also a mystery involved. And I really like that because what distinguishes this kind of stuff from like a magic spell is like it's all about relationship. It's about having faith in the one who heals, and it's about following what he wants to do rather than I'm going to pray a formula and expect something to happen, which is much more about me. It's about relationship with God. So it's his kingdom, it's his rule. And then finally, why does it matter? So two things as we come into land. Understanding about the kingdom brings us peace. We know more about the future state of the world and where we end up. We will have renewed, glorious bodies. in a renewed creation, that physical bodies that will be more glorious than this one, which is not hard, but it will be like that. And God will be perfectly present. Remember that picture of like the holy city of Jerusalem coming down and God being in it. There won't be a temple because God himself is there. They don't need a temple. It's just like that God space and human space is just perfectly overlapping, which is what the job of temple does. So we don't need it. Everything's a temple because God and humanity are perfectly there. Okay? So we can have peace. We know that future age is actually breaking into the now. So Wimber used to say, it's not pie in the sky while you die, it's cake on your plate while you wait.
Steak on your plate.
Steak on your plate.
Yeah.
Steak on your plate.
Steak, cake for vegetables. So it's good news that we can expect that this future kingdom to break into the now. I love what Psalm 112 says about the righteous. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And that's like a real kingdom perspective. It takes practice. And if you're going through a hard time, you know, I take great comfort from that Jesus had a panic attack in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. So don't feel condemned. But when we're gripped by the goodness of God and the fact that he wants to heal us, he wants to restore us, and he wants to take us to a future age where pain and suffering won't be issues, then we know that that's our trajectory. And we know we can trust him as the one who's going to take us there. So we know that whatever the world throws us or whatever circumstance throws at us, there's one who is bigger that rules over it. Again, his rule and reign coming. The other element that brings us peace is also unanswered prayer. So, I don't know if you've ever prayed for healing and not seen it, or even you might have been prayed for to receive healing and you haven't received it. I know I've certainly been there in both camps. And it's a little bit awkward, isn't it? Because if the kingdom's fully come now, then miracles should happen every time. And it's just like, so if they don't happen, well, normally the answer to kind of get out of that hole is, you know, well, somebody didn't have enough faith. Normally the person praying is saying, well, that's not me. It's like, must be your fault. And we don't believe that, because if the kingdom is now but not yet, we're still going to see an imperfect representation of the kingdom. So we know that when we pray, you know, we won't always necessarily see healing. It doesn't mean we stop. It just means we go all the harder. But when we pray for people, we don't see healing there and then. Interestingly, in Chloe's research, about a third were instantaneous, a third were kind of delayed, and then a third took kind of a lot of prayer or they didn't see it happen. That's just the reality of it. So if you don't see an initial answer, positive answer to prayer, keep going. But the thing I love about kingdom theology in the vineyard is that it doesn't blame somebody for lack of faith. It doesn't say you didn't have enough faith to receive this or you didn't have enough faith to pray for that person. It just says the kingdom is kind of now, it's not yet, and there's mystery to it. And whilst faith is a component in the process, it works very differently, I believe, to the transaction model of putting my faith in, like a slot machine, getting my answer to prayer out. So if you've ever had that leveled against you, I'll invite you in a moment to kind of offer that before the Lord, because I think he wants to lift that off people. And then finally, purpose. Really good news, our work is not wasted. And I know from chatting to some people, not that I've just picked up on it very cheekily and very quietly. I know that some of us have kind of grown up in the church tradition and sort of say, well, it's all going to burn, so what's the point? And I know I kind of started off in that. But and I won't get into it today, but that passage in Revelation, There's a couple of Greek words that you could be used. There's one that's brand new, that's just like rolled off the production line. It's like minutes old or a newborn baby. It's their first experience of like life outside the womb. It's seconds and minutes. There's a word for that. And then there's a word for new that is renewed. And it's like repair shop, where you bring in something that's really old, a bit beat up and a bit damaged, but it's got a wonderful story to it. And lovingly, they recreate it and restore it and make it as new. And that's the word that is used in Revelation 21. So I passionately believe that God, who made this good creation, said it's very good, will make it very good again, and he will renew it. So that means the things we do in today actually count towards that. We're building this future kingdom. The kingdom is in breaking, not only through kind of praying and doing kind of the miracle stuff, but actually as we look, you know, as we kind of plant maybe gardens or tend our local environment. You know, we're beautifying it, we're bringing order out of chaos. These are all things that God wants us to do. So it's not wasted. I love the fact that so many of us here already serve in compassion projects, already doing it, and we've been doing it for years, and it's just wonderful. And again, that is an expression of the kingdom coming in a very, very practical way. It's like we want to see this time when people are wrapped up in compassion and kindness. And then finally, an expectation that we can push back the darkness because God gives us that authority. Just like we had in the beginning, it's ours now. Jesus says at the end of his time, kind of walking the earth before he went back to ascend to heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore go." And he just gives us back the keys. He says, "Go and make disciples. Go and bring the kingdom." So not only do we know our work has purpose, it's not wasted, we can also have that expectation that you and me, ordinary people, can do this stuff and actually have the adventure of God actually working through us. And that might sound like a big thing, like flipping, surely not me. Yes, you. And again, for me, I'm still very much on a learning journey. It's taken me years to not bottle it when I think, I really should offer to pray now. And like, so I used to bottle it 80% of the time and pray 20% of the time. I think I'm around the other way now. So I kind of pray 20% of the time and bottle it 20. And that's just been a journey that the Lord's taken us on. But the more you kind of see God healing and doing stuff, the more you get confident that he wants to do this. Wimber once, I'll close with this, Wimber once had a picture. He was praying like mad in his church for healings, and he wasn't getting any. And God said, "I want you to pray morning service, evening service, pray for healings." And like, he kept on praying and nothing was happening. And like, people started to leave the church. Said, "This is crazy, you know, you just, you know, stop it. You know, it's crazy." And like, and he said, "Lord, people are leaving the church." He said, "If you stop, I'll close the church down." So he said, "Oh, I'll keep going." And then he kind of prayed for this woman, like they got a call, said, "Look, I've got a new job, I need to go off, my wife is really poorly and we've got a newborn baby, can you come over and pray?" So he went over with almost no faith, and he just was about to pray for her and explain why it probably wouldn't work, and he just prayed. And he said, this woman was like, she had no makeup on, and she was embarrassed, she was like, the hair was everywhere, and he goes, "Oh, she's really sick." And so he prayed for her, and she just kind of got up and started doing her hair, and he goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, God healed me, I feel amazing." And he's like, so I walked out like, "Wow, can't believe this." And he had a picture on the way home as he's driving. He saw this honeycomb. And he saw this honeycomb just dripping with honey. And the honey was the mercy of God. And he said to John, he said, "The problem isn't on my side. God's mercy is dripping and running like honey." And that's what he wants us to embrace. So the kingdom of God is God's dynamic rule and reign. It's in breaking into the now. It's how we read. It's the lens we look at scripture, how we read it through. But more than that, it gives us peace. Yeah. It gives us purpose in our everyday life to see our work as valuable and contributing to human good, and just to see God's future reign and rule brought into the now. Amen. Amen.